Discount Garage Doors is the presenting sponsor of the Monday Morning Joe podcast. Their website, dgdoors.com, is there for you. Also, 1-866-420-DOOR is the phone number. 7 days a week, Discount Garage Doors can come to your home for a free service call, a free diagnosis of whatever's going on with your garage door. If you need a new door, they have a fantastic selection, and the prices are just as their name says, Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. This is a great local company, been around about 20 years, serving all of our Joe Bucks fan readers out to Orlando and beyond. 1-866-420-DOOR. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount for 10% off. Good morning, Bucks fans. Monday Morning Joe, the podcast, is here. It is March 26th. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes writing on the website. And we are presented by Discount Garage Doors. Their website, dgdoors.com. 7 days a week, free service call. I'll tell you more about them later. It's one of the best Mondays that I can remember for being a Bucks fan. It's just, you know, our memories wipe out, and it's been a while since we've had sort of a good feeling about the team. I know I feel that way after the Jason Pierre-Paul trade. I know most fans do as well, but man, it is liberating. You know, I thought a lot about why. Why is the Jason Pierre-Paul trade, the trade for JPP, so moving, right? Why did that really move the needle so much? And I think there are layers to it. I think first, it sort of lets you know that Jason Light and his team, and just the team in general, the organization, they get it, right? They realize where their shortcomings are, which, of course, was pass rush number one. Now, they said it, they talked about it, but actually doing something about it that was smart and big and bold, that's always another story, right? Like, we knew that Doug Martin wasn't very good, but they kept going to him anyway, and they knew they needed a better running game. So you're just never sure what the rhetoric, the chatter is versus what they're actually going to do. And the trade for Jason Pierre-Paul really lets us know that, okay, the Bucks get it. And the trade isn't just one guy. To me, it is what the ripple effect is for the other defensive linemen that they signed, right? So all of a sudden, okay, we like the Vinnie Curry signing. We get it. He's not, you know, making people do cartwheels down Del Mabry or anything like that. But we understood Vinnie Curry, okay, established veteran, good work ethic guy, had a great year, stuck with the Eagles, has got a Super Bowl ring, has been a big contributor, but he's not a great pass rusher. He's not much of a sack artist. He's not a great player. We're not confusing him with anybody ever considered great. But now, the signing of Curry, well, now he's not going to be relied on to be the guy in a role that probably didn't suit him. Now he can play part-time again, and he can rush inside on passing downs coming in for Bo Allen. And Jason Light, you know, I had said or written anyway that I felt that the Bucks might rely on Bo Allen for some of his pass rushing ability, even though he only had 2 career sacks, that they might like him that way because I had watched some film, and you know, it seemed like they might be looking for him to do more on third down than he had done before. And he's young, all that kind of stuff. And Jason Light hinted at that during his recent chat with the Tampa Bay Times podcast, Sports Day Tampa Bay, that, you know, the Eagles used him in some sub packages and he likes Bo Allen's quickness. But the reality is, look, the guy's not getting on the field on passing downs now that JPP is here. So he might play a little bit. Sure, I'm just being firm. But the point is that he's going to be in his role that he's good at, which is being a run stuffer and a big body and a lot more active than we ever saw from Chris Baker. And of course, Curry and Allen were key cogs on the number one ranked run defense last year, which of course was the Eagles. But the point is that these guys now fit better into their roles where they can be successful. Too often free agents or big names, or whatever you want to call them, that they're traded for, free agents, they come to a team, and they're sort of, their ceiling is looked at, and they're asked to produce at that level. They're sort of expected to hit their ceiling. Now, with JPP, we don't need that. And we don't even need JPP to sort of hit his ceiling. And that, what I mean by that is, he played 90-something percent of the Giants' snaps last year. This is a guy who doesn't come off the field. And the Bucks would prefer to get him off the field, and let them rotate a little bit. Maybe find a rookie pass rusher. Keep their fingers crossed that Noah Spence can deliver a little bit this year. Be healthy and be a situational guy. Because Noah Spence right now, let's face it, he has been pegged on this team completely as a situational pass rusher. That's his job. Third down guy, use the speed, use the multiple moves, and put pressure on the quarterback and be a speed, quick twitch, big burst, get off, nightmare in that role. They sort of have eliminated him from run defense at this point, as I see it. Especially with still hanging on to Will Golston. I mean, are we really going to see Noah Spence on first and second down? I doubt it. But the point is, the Bucs should, fingers crossed, they should have enough to peel back JPP's snaps a bit, and which was going to extend him, extend the life of him, presumably, and make him better when he's on the field. Because the Giants really extended him. And I get the guys who want to play all the time, but you know what? Those cutting back to 83% of the snaps instead of 92 or whatever, that makes a difference on a guy through the year. It really, really does. And they could even go deeper with JPP there. But they'll figure that out. They'll work with him. They'll manage his ego and whatnot. Jason Light said he wants to play guys in waves. One of the reasons Dirk Cutter hired the previous defensive line coach, Jay Hayes, is because he stated to me at least a couple years ago that Hayes was so well known and so well respected for being able to rotate guys and have a true 8-man defensive line and play guys in waves and knew how to get them in and when and do that rotation, which we saw in Philadelphia last year that led to so much of the Eagles' success. They just were flowing the defensive linemen inside and out. But the JPP trade, at its core, it feels so good because, man, it's like, okay, they get it. They get that they didn't have this pass rusher. They get that they screwed up, and they are being bold, and they're going to pay the guy. And in one fell swoop, we realize that, okay, the Glazers aren't being cheap this year. It's not like they're like, okay, Cutter, you come back. Everybody's coming back because we're not going to leave all this cash out there on coaches, and we're just going to sort of limp through this season and see what happens, and then we'll spend money next year with either you guys or a new coach. No, they're spending it this year. They're paying Vinnie Curry a ton of money. JPP is at the top end of the scale for defensive linemen, for defensive ends, and damn, you know, they have completely overhauled that defensive line. You're going to see most likely three new starters out there out of four. And that is just music to anybody who is paying attention, because forget about the sack number. Forget about the 22 sacks. You watch the Bucs and you did not see any consistency in the pass rush, anything dangerous, anything where, I mean, pretend you're an NFC South quarterback and you were playing any other team in the division. What do the Bucs look like compared to that defensively, as far as the aspect of the quarterback? Come on, now it's dangerous. Now it's unknown. You're not only unknown as a D-line, you're dangerous, and you have a new coach who's very aggressive, and you've got Mike Smith out there who, yeah, he knows what he's doing. I'm not going to say Mike Smith doesn't know what he's doing, even though it's been brutal, even though I don't think anybody would have cried if they fired him and went with somebody else. But he's still going to be bringing pressure. They know they got to make plays here and use the talent while it's still healthy. And I think early in the season especially, they're going to be getting after it in a big way. They've got to. They've got to put the pressure on. They've got to be a playmaking kind of aggressive mindset, in part to change the culture, but in part because you got the talent. You're going to have it early before it gets hurt. Go for it. So anyway, I'm very excited about the JPP trade because of the broader meaning. Now we've got hope. Hope has been restored. You know, fans are jacked up, man. JoeBucksFan.com, we keep, we're a very analytical business, believe it or not. It's not just beer and the nonsense in our podcasts. For those of you who get a little more intimate into our silliness on some of the other podcasts, and of course, Bucks Uncensored and whatever, we have a good time. We enjoy covering this, but it's an analytical business, Joe, right? We're in the internet traffic business. We're here to support my family and everybody else associated, Ira, Lee. You know, we're here to make money. So we keep track of things, and our traffic, our pages viewed on our website is up from last March. It's up from last March, March 1st to March 25th, which is pretty cool, year over year, mostly because the fans were ready to kill somebody. They were dead. In February, they were down. They were not happy at the start of free agency. And despite what people think, when fans are unhappy, they don't visit their favorite team's website. It's just not the same numbers. Now, you hardcores who eat everything and drink everything you can, JoeBucksFan.com, we love you and we appreciate you. Maybe you don't understand that, but you know what? There are a lot of people, when your team's losing and it's a Monday morning, you just watch them cough up a lead in a game like the Bucks do. Hey, they don't want to read much about it. Maybe a little bit the next day, but they're not all jacked up to consume everything. So, you know, our traffic was down in February considerably, just sort of like a haze over the season. We had never seen anything like that. Our traffic, though, I mean, was good December, January, but February, man. But you know what? Now we're up in March over last year, which is pretty cool. Hope has been restored, and Jason Light made the right move. Now, the Glazers. Now, many of you, and we were even in this camp, too, here at JoeBucksFan.com, we weren't really certain that the Glazers gave Light a true green light with the checkbook. Ira Kaufman wrote about this. You know, would you have given Jason Light a green light with your checkbook after his track record in free agency leading up to this year? But Light, very in a candid way, heartfelt way, talked about on the Sports Day Tampa Bay podcast that, you know what, the Glazers gave him no directive. He said, no directive, just do what's best for the football team. If you got to spend a lot of money and you can justify it, great. If you don't find a deal you like, you don't find what fits with the big names or whatever, no problem. Everything's okay. Just do the best you can to build the football team. No restrictions, no directive. Just do it. Just wins and the fans will come. And Light explained this. I'm paraphrasing, but it was heartfelt. I've listened to Jason Light long enough. There's no spin there. And it's good to hear. And it's not surprising. I mean, let's face it. The Glazers have spent a ton of money since 2012. 2011, sure. Everybody was on the cheap. Before that, they were at the bottom when the league had no salary cap floor. There was no floor on the salaries for that stretch prior to the new labor agreement of 2011 after the lockout. So, you know, the Bucks were on the cheap for a while, but they haven't been for a long time, and that continues. I'll actually be seeing plenty of Team Glazer this week at the NFL owners' meetings. I'm not sure when my formal one-on-one sit-down is with them, but you know what? When they tell you to be there, when you get the call, you show up. It's just how it goes. You know, it's Team Glazer. It's always good to catch up with them in the formal setting, informal setting. Not that I don't see them at times during the year, but it's always good to share some of the stuff with the fans, be able to. And, you know, just having sat with Joel Glazer for a few years in a row now, you know, you get a read on people, you know, and that's my past career. It's a big part of what I did. So it's always good to get that read, get that pulse, and get that feel. And I mark it down and track it through the year. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm eager to share from Team Glazer later this week, whenever that is. All right. Now, another thing with the Bucks that's worth mentioning is, as it relates to the Dave Gettleman trade, the Giants general manager sending Jason Pierre-Paul to Jason Light. Now, these two guys are friends. Not every general manager is a friend or tight, but you would see Light talking to Gettleman at Raymond James Stadium. I know for a fact that they had a relationship, and Light this week brought up that, you know, this league is very much about relationships, and I was working on the trade and calling around for defensive ends, and Dave Gettleman didn't say no with JPP, so we knew we had a little nugget there, and Light said he massaged the trade possibility for a few weeks, and poof, there it was. Now, what's interesting is that around the league, around the NFL, you didn't have a widespread knowledge that Jason Pierre-Paul was on the market. JPP didn't even know, and it's fair to assume that Dave Gettleman wasn't calling a million general managers and agents saying, hey, I'm shopping JPP, blah, blah, blah. So this was a relationship kind of deal. Then Light himself admitted it. Now, what does that mean? I think part of it means, which is interesting, is that Gettleman was really eager to trade JPP to the NFC South, where he could wreak havoc on his opposing team, the Panthers, right? Gettleman is a competitive guy. He doesn't want to see the Panthers succeed. They just fired him. He's a competitive guy. Most of these guys are. So all of a sudden he trades Jason Pierre-Paul to the Buccaneers. Now, it's not like it wasn't a good move for the Giants in their grand plan, whatever that is. I'm not a Giants expert, but dumping salary cap, changing the locker room a bit, and preparing to possibly draft Bradley Chubb, and it's a whole new direction. But I think a lot of this deal got done, one, from the relationship with Leighton Gettleman, but also, you know what? Let the Panthers deal with the Buccaneers having an elite pass rusher and throw that into the mix. I think Dave Gettleman's going to be rooting for JPP to crush Cam Newton. And that's just the nature of sports. So in this scenario, it fell the Bucs' way, and I'm happy that it happened. I have no knowledge that that's what happened, but you know what? Maybe I'll find out a little bit more on that. But it stands the sniff test that Gettleman was very happy to get him to the NFC South. So, hey, we'll take him. We will take him. I've gotten a lot on Twitter, at Joe Bucks Fan is our account, a lot on Twitter, you know, people worrying about the draft pick, the lost third round pick. And a third round pick, and the Bucks pick is good in the third round. Now it belongs to the Giants. Yeah, that's a significant loss. It is a loss. Your third round picks should make the team, and those are guys that are projected starters. You want a good general manager is finding starters in the third round, or at least key contributors. And so it's a loss. And you can mourn the loss, and you can be upset that, hey, the Bucs aren't building for the future, and we gave up a top draft pick, and blah, blah, blah. But still, those picks, the top of the third round, it's a big bust rate across the league, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 60%. So it's not a guaranteed fix. Now, Jason Light has been good in the draft. He's also been bad in the draft, but overall he's been pretty good. Our two third-round picks last year, Chris Godwin, and then the Bucs traded up for the last pick in the third round and got Kendall Beckwith. Hey, those are good picks. But, you know, we lost ours now. So it changes the game, but it had to be done. When you miss in the draft, you've got to go the free agency trade route. You just have to do it. And the Bucs were in a situation here where JPP, like I just explained, that makes the whole team better and everything make more sense on a very complete level. And he really should have two good years left. I think you should be able to count on him for 2 years, but it's not just the 2 years. It's the culture change. It's where the team is now and needing to take another step to, you know, to let everybody know that the team makes sense. You can't just keep losing, and they were never going to totally blow up this team and start over and do a Cleveland kind of thing because they have too much on offense or too many weapons there, too much firepower to not look to do some win now things on defense. It's not ideal, but I don't think it's worth mourning. You may regret it on draft night when, of course, the Bucks get to the third round and, oh, well, we got nothing. And when you're watching who the Saints are picking and everybody else, but that's just football. And I don't feel bad about it at all. I don't feel bad about it at all. And you know what? Good teams make some of these deals. And, you know, teams like the Patriots don't. But nobody's the Patriots. So I like it. I'm pleased with it. And now what do the Bucs do in rounds one and two? What do they do in rounds one and two? Well, if we assume Team Glazer is not in the draft process, if they're just telling Jason Light, do whatever you think is the right move for the football team, well, Jason Light himself has shown this is a win-now offseason. I mean, look at how we approach this thing. Overhaul the D-line. Make a bold trade. Give up a third-round pick. Get a top D-lineman in here. We probably overpaid Vinnie Curry. And we re-signed some of our guys. And here we go. Well, and they've got, of course, on the offensive line, Ryan Jensen, who we've talked about previously. So Light is playing win-now. In the offseason, it stands to reason that he'll play win now in the draft. So what's win now for Jason Light? Well, win now for Jason Light is showing that he picked the right quarterback, because there's question about that, showing that he can build an elite unit And that's not going to happen on defense overnight, but it can happen on offense overnight with another piece or two. And he's got to shore up the special teams to show that he's a good general manager. He got the kicker. Special teams was off last year. They believe Catanzaro is going to fix the coverage units, right? The Bucs gave up two touchdowns and short kicks hurt them, short kickoffs. He's going, assuming the NFL doesn't change the kickoff rule, he's going to fix that. So Light's win now play is on offense. That's where his win now plays are in this draft. And maybe he gets a cornerback, which the team desperately needs. I'd be all in favor of that. I want my GM thinking long-term, not short-term. But it is a balance. And Light is human, and we've seen win now in free agency. So you know what? And Light very much went long-term in the draft last year. If you look at the pick of Godwin, yeah, they didn't need him to start. Beckwith, did we need a linebacker? Did we have to trade up for a linebacker? No. But those were excellent picks. Justin Evans, I'm still kind of kicking myself that the Bucs didn't draft a running back last year, went with Justin Evans, safety, but that was long-term thinking. That's really what Light did last year. Stuck to his board and his desire to add to that defense and went with Justin Evans. Didn't like the pick, but okay. And of course, O.J. Howard was not a need pick, right? So very much long-term thinking in last year's draft. I think Light might adjust that this year given the situation. Go more short-term. So when I say that, what do I think? I think if Quentin Nelson's there, I think they take him. And I think they get their running back in round two, whoever falls and whoever's in position there. And that would mean the Bucs would draft two guys on offense. They would view their number three pick as JPP and look at them all as win-now picks because Nelson's going to make an instant impact. He's an impact instant starter. You know, people look at him as a 10-year fix, like most offensive linemen ever pegged for the top 10 in the draft. And your running back's your running back. You'll put him with Peyton Barber. Hopefully he'll start. He'll be more explosive. And you got your running game fixed. And away we go. No more excuses on offense. Monster offensive line in that scenario. Monster. If they draft Quentin Nelson, I wrote about this, you will not have seen an offensive line with this much talent since 2008. When you had Aaron Sears and Donald Penn and Jeff Fain and Davin Joseph and Jeremy Trueblood, but all those guys were young at that time. They were all in their 20s. And Aaron Sears, of course, very sad story, what happened to him. But still, that's what it would be comparable to with this line. And this one would probably be a little bit better. So I think that might be the play. I think that might be the play here. And the Glazers, I think, would be just fine. All right, let's go. Let's jack up the offense here. We're competing against juggernauts in this division. We got Jameis. No more excuses. Let's score some points. Running game fixed. O-line fixed. Passing game loaded. Let's go. What do we got in Dirk? And I think that makes, in many ways, the most sense. Long-term would be nice with getting some defensive pieces in here. And maybe getting even some pass rushers. A second-round pick pass rusher would be beautiful. But you know what? I think if I'm trying to read between the lines, which is what we do in the end of March, we start looking at what's going to happen. And I think Light goes that direction. I really do. But, hey, who knows? It's early, and there can be more deals, and we might see some more little pieces come in free agency that could paint a different picture. And will the Bucs go with the cornerbacks they have right now? No, I don't think so. Do we really believe that they're going to go with this cornerback stable, Ryan Smith and Vernon Hargraves? You know, we've been hearing some stuff about Hargraves behind the scenes, and I hate dropping the behind-the-scenes stuff, but I think there's a couple of small red flags. Nothing major, nothing sinister, no drugs or any bad behavior, but there's some things that we've learned that to me feel like more red flags than green lights and recovery signals. You know, it's just, I don't know, I'm a little sketchy on Vernon Hargraves right now. Hopefully we get some more clarity at the NFL owners meetings. The podcast, right? You've been listening to the podcast. You've been supporting this. Sometimes you wonder, where is the podcast? Well, you know, we've missed a week or two here and there, and those will be made up in maybe some bonus podcasts along the way, especially around draft time. But of course, subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Podbean. You just get a free alert when the podcast does post. And if there's a bonus podcast, you'll get a heads up. I appreciate all the support. Leave a review, iTunes, Podbean. We read them. They can be negative. They can be positive. I don't care. No thin skin here. But you know, good feedback is good feedback too. I see the numbers. I know people are listening, and the metrics have been really good. People have been taking it all the way through. So appreciate you. You know, it's harder on, for those of you who listen to me with the Ira Kaufman podcast or used to hear me with Steve Dooming, it's harder. Solo is a different animal, especially when it's not at a radio station. And I've worked at radio stations. It's different because you're just kind of on your own on an island here, and it's a different animal. Anybody who does a solo podcast understands it's tough stuff. And I try to imagine the fans out there listening in, and I'm talking to you. The podcast is for you. It's for a little therapy for me as well, but I appreciate your support, and keep listening and definitely subscribe and leave a review. Now, couple of other things. First, let me mention the JoeBucksFan.com Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. The Draft Party. Watching the draft, having drinks, having a great time, and just being totally intense with fellow Bucks fans. So much fun last year. Well over 300 people came out. People were turned away. And this time it's going to be bigger and better. Buffalo Wild Wings, the new South Tampa location, 4015 Southdale Mabry is the spot. All the details are on JoeBucksFan.com. They're on our Twitter feed at JoeBucksFan. You're going to see more and more as we get to a one-month countdown right now. There's even an official hotel, the Courtyard Marriott, on right there in West Shore, $120 a night if you want to come in and stay over, because the partying will go on all night long, and we're going to do it again on Friday. But, of course, the draft is Thursday, April 26th. Way more fun than the stadium, much more intimate and intense. I'll be out there. Ira Kaufman will be out there. I actually have some family coming into town, so it's perfect. I get to leave them at home and then go out to the draft party. But definitely mark that down. A lot of fun. You don't want to miss it. And you know what? It's close enough where you can go to the stadium if you want to and come to the draft party and do both. Maybe park at the draft party, hang out, go to the Uber to the stadium, come on back afterwards. So it's going to be a great, great night, and we really look forward to bringing that to you. They're really first. Again, another thank you to Discount Garage Doors. DGDoors.com is the website. DGDoors.com, great discounts there. But really, anything you need with the garage door, even if you just want to upgrade the value of your home, because a new garage door can do wonders for curb appeal, give them a call. Best deal, best service, same day free service call, free diagnosis. You just won't get that everywhere else. Now, regarding the Buccaneers and the team where they are right now, right? So we're 1 month from the draft, 1 month. And of course, the Bucs go deeper and deeper into draft mode here. And I've written this and I really believe it. I think one of the biggest things we're looking at with a focus is what the team thinks of Peyton Barber. That's just critical, because if they believe Peyton Barber, if they like that film, and we don't know how to predict this team with running backs, if they like that film and they believe he can be the number one guy, the emphasis in the draft is going to be different. Jason Light has said many times, you can't fill every hole every year. Can't do it. Well, maybe running back is the hole that they don't worry about filling this year. Now, I know this is freaking people out, but part of what analyzing the team is trying to predict how they think. And maybe they believe this is not the year to fill running back. Now, doesn't mean they won't draft one, right? They drafted one in the fifth round last year, so they obviously felt that last year. And now there's no Charles Sims and no Doug Martin, but they've got two guys they like a lot in Peyton Barber and somebody they trust in Jaquizz Rodgers. And maybe this is the year where they believe in those guys. And they just, you know, look later in the draft, maybe get a couple of backs late. There's still guys out there in free agency. Orleans Darkwa of the Giants, who had a solid year last year. C.J. Anderson, maybe the Bucks are sniffing him around. You know, John Elway hasn't really fully committed to him this year, even though he's under contract. He's set to earn $4.5 million. Versatile back, a guy who played, I remember talking to him when Denver was in the Super Bowl. He played for Jeff Tedford in college, and he's thrived, had a 1,000-yard year last season. Got some varying experiences, a nice change of pace to Peyton Barber. Maybe. You know, the Bucks and Denver are close in the draft. Maybe they get creative somehow. I don't know. But don't expect the Bucks necessarily to go all out for a running back. Plus, when they're not going to take, unless Saquon Barkley's there, they're not going to draft a running back in the first round. I don't think the Bucks are going to be sitting on a trade down opportunity that where they would take a running back. So it's a big gamble to be in position in the second round to get the guy you want and feel you're not reaching for him and all that stuff. So it's a big part of this draft. Big part of this draft. And plus, if you draft Quentin Nelson with that first pick, as I mentioned before, maybe you think, man, I don't need as good a running back as I, you know, you never know what the thinking is. Now, Evan Smith is back for a fifth season on the offensive line. Is he what they're looking at left guard if they don't get Quentin Nelson? And maybe they draft a guard later because this draft is rich in guards. If they get a fourth-round guard, maybe they look at him competing with Evan Smith. But that's your left guard right now. I don't think J.R. Sweezy's coming back, but it's early. But this week, we will get an update on J.R. Sweezy's health. And if he's not ready, if he's not cleared for playing right now, that means there's something seriously wrong. Too much time has elapsed, and he's just not somebody that they can gamble on. And we'll see what the ramifications of that are. Obviously, there's probably an injury clause in his contract where they don't want to cut him injured and release him injured. That'll probably cost him too much money. But we'll see. We'll see there. But with the draft, you know, you hope that the Bucks, well, if you look at where they've been successful, they have not been successful on defensive back. Now, Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com, he's the guy who's always writing, don't draft a cornerback, because with this coaching staff, they have their shot and they haven't been able to develop a guy. They miscast Ryan Smith, and he was a corner out of college. They thought he was a safety. They realized he wasn't. They put him in practice as a safety in 2016. Put him in practice as a corner. Then they put him on the field as a corner last year. He was awful. He was awful in preseason. And Vernon Hargraves took a step back. They're not developing these guys. So why would you draft a cornerback if your system isn't good at developing them? Well, you could also make the leap. It's a leap that Lee doesn't make, but I'll make it, is that they don't know how to draft a cornerback. Right? Vernon Hargraves not looking like a good pick. I mean, he was okay as a rookie. He was okay, solid, big learning curve there, getting targeted a ton with Brent Grimes on the other side. But he wasn't great. He didn't look special. Ryan Smith, they didn't know even what position he was. Javion Elliott, you know, he's contributed as an undrafted pick. Yeah, that's nice, but he didn't progress last year. They've burned through their share of guys. Josh Robinson is somebody the front office evaluated as a cornerback, where he played quite a bit on defense in Minnesota, and he comes here and he can't see the field. The front office evaluated Alteron Verner, and he sucks. So it's partially an evaluation issue. And if you're honest with yourself as a staff, a front office staff, and you realize, man, we are not good at picking cornerbacks, maybe you don't do that in the first round or in the second round. Now, it's a loser mentality in a sense, but it's a winning mentality because you have to know your limitations. And again, we see from the offseason that the regime is in a win-now mode. Last year's draft was about building more about the future at all those positions as it laid out. This year, I think, is going to be more need-focused, which is okay. I'm all for drafting for need because the reality is every team does that anyway on some level. Almost every pick has some element of need. Not everyone. Certainly not last year with the Bucks, but that was the exception more than the rule. And I think Jason Light probably swings back in that direction. All right. I could keep going on and on and on, man. I'm so happy on a lot of levels about this team. That's how I started the podcast, and I'm excited. Hope is returned. I am so fired up for Ali Marpet moving back to right guard. He'll never say it, but I think he is pumped up for that. Ryan Jensen going in next to him, an established center. They got, hopefully they finally found the nasty that they've been looking for. Why they've been looking for that is another story, but the fans are fired up. There is 1 month to the draft. We got Dirk Cutter talking this week, Glazers, Light. We're going to learn more about our football team, and that's what makes us excited, right? That's why you tune into the podcast, because you want to know more about your team. You want to think more about your team. You love your team. I love the Bucks. You do as well. Keep the passion going. Keep coming back to JoeBucksFan.com. Keep using discount garage doors whenever you have a garage door need or just have a question. And thanks again, and we will see you next week.